Throughout history, great kingdoms, nations, and civilizations were established upon the earth, judging themselves as superior and enlightened, professing to be invincible and unrivaled in their achievements. The fact that they have perished from the face of this earth proved their claims to be false. History and archaeology also proves them to have been mostly brutal and cruel societies. Their judgments were biased, idealistic, and administered with hypocrisy and ravenous desires. The nations of today are likewise filled with hatred, murder, lies, filthiness, and all manner of wickedness. Is there actually any distinction between those sounding their trumpets in this present dispensation of time, boasting their beliefs, sophistication, and advancements, than those of the past? And yet it is God's judgment, which He purposed in Himself before the world began, to offer each new generation that is born the way to life eternal, until the final day of His judgment comes. Thousands of years ago, a man named Abram, a descendant of Noah who lived in Haran, was given a promise from God. And in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get you out of your country, and from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." The promise to make of faithful Abram a great nation, and that in him all peoples of the earth would be blessed, was prophecy of the advent of the Messiah, who descended from Abram through the children of Israel. The kingdom that was called Israel here on this earth, before it was destroyed by the Roman Empire, was a preliminary element of the promise to build a great, heavenly, and eternal nation from all peoples of the earth. Chronicled in the Bible is a history of the events that took place in the making and destruction of Israel. It also contains prophecies of the Messiah and similitudes of things that have or are to come. "And I will make of you a great nation, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed," said the Lord to Abram. God also gave another promise to Abram, who also came to be called Abraham, when he had entered the country which at that measure of time was called Canaan. And again in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 5 to 7. "And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your seed will I give this land.' And there builded he an altar to the Lord who appeared to him." The land of Canaan, which God promised to give to the descendants of Abram, came to be known as the Promised Land and referred to as the Inheritance. This was the country that Moses led the children of Israel to after their wanderings in the wilderness. In the book that is called Numbers, when Moses and the people were in the plains of Moab, God said to Moses, "Tell the children of Israel when they have passed over Jordan into Canaan to drive out all inhabitants and destroy their idols and high places that they worship. And if they do not to the inhabitants of Canaan as I have judged, then I will also judge and afflict them until they perish from this land." God was not only keeping his promise to Abram, he was also letting all the peoples of the earth know that he is God, and it is his eternal judgments that prevail. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your seed will I give this land." After Moses died, God chose Joshua to lead the people into the earthly promised land, which is documented in the book called by his name. And in the book of Joshua, the 3rd chapter, verses 10 to 13. "And Joshua said, 'Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up upon an heap.'" To enter into the land that had been promised by God, the people had to cross the Jordan River from its eastern side. It was the harvest season, the river was deep, and overflowing all of its banks. Joshua told the people the living God was going to work a great miracle for them. He sent the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Word of God, into the river, causing it to rise up into a great mass and stop the flow of water to it. The riverbed was also dried, so that the crossing could be made on dry ground. This was not only a miracle, it was also a similitude of that which is to come. When the great day of judgment comes, by the word of God, the elect will pass through the waters above into the heavenly promised land. And Joshua said, "Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you." After passing over the Jordan, the first city of the wicked God gave commandment to destroy was Jericho. And in the book of Joshua, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 5. "Now Jericho was thoroughly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given into your hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. This shall you do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." The destruction of Jericho and possessing of the earthly promised land by the children of Israel is also a similitude of the return of Jesus the Messiah and the destruction of the earth. The Lord Jesus will descend from heaven with the sound of the trumpet and shout of the archangel. The stars will fall from the heavens, and his angels will gather the elect to the last place, and the wicked to be cast into a lake of fire, and there will be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. As it is written in the book of the Revelation, the 10th chapter, verse 7, when the seventh angel begins sounding the trumpet, the enigmatic work of God shall be finished. The Lord said to Joshua, when you hear the sound of the trumpet and a great shout, the city shall fall. The promise to give the seed of Abram the land of Canaan was fulfilled. God did not fail, all came to pass. And in the book of Joshua, the 21st chapter, the 43rd verse, and the Lord gave to Israel all the land which he swore to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and dwell therein. God does not forget, and it is not possible for him to lie. When he speaks, it happens, or it is going to happen. Giving Canaan to Israel was brought to fruition by God hundreds of years after Abram had died, but was not forsaken. The final day of the judgment of God has been spoken of since the beginning of creation, and many are those that denigrate or do not believe, but it is not wise to dismiss or reject what God has spoken. Before entering into the promised land, God, speaking by Moses, gave the children of Israel a choice to make. Moses told Israel to observe and do all the commandments which God had given, and that if they did, God would set them high above all nations of the earth. But if they did not observe and do all the commandments of God, all the curses listed in the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy would come upon them and overtake them. And the Lord gave to Israel all the land that had been sworn to their fathers. Once again, because they did not fully heed his commandments, God was not pleased with Israel. And in the book of the Judges, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 and 2. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you to the land which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? All the generation delivered out of Egypt, and that had done evil in the sight of God, were consumed during their wanderings for 40 years in the wilderness. This was Joshua's generation that was now provoking the anger of God, who had also seen the great works God did in delivering the people from Egypt. All the days of Joshua, and even of the elders and people that outlived him, the children of Israel went forth to possess the land of Canaan, promised to Abram by God. However, they did not drive out all of the inhabitants, as God instructed them through Moses, nor did they destroy all of their cities, idols, altars, or high places. God knew that collaborating with the wicked and making marriages with them would subvert the people's minds and lead them to engaging in the same evil deeds. Therefore, God judged to let the nations that had not been driven from Canaan remain in their cities to ravage Israel, and as snares cause the people to stumble and fail, that they might learn the immutability of his counsel and turn from disregarding his words. An angel of the Lord came and said, "You have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this?" Speaking by his prophet Malachi, God attempts to convince the sons of Jacob, also called the children of Israel, of his unchanging judgment. And in the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verses 6 and 7. "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, from where shall we return?" God's judgments are the same today as yesterday, and will be the same forever. And most assuredly, if not for God's patience and forbearance, he would have ended his great work long before this dispensation of time. And even to the nations of today, God administers the consequence for not obeying his voice. He uses his power over his creation to turn each generation from their iniquities. God now calls for all people to learn and heed the ordinances of his heavenly places. It is not his will that any should perish. He is greater than all and seeks to save those who resist his eternal judgments. "For I am the Lord your God, and I change not. Therefore you are not consumed." Please take the time to study and examine his words.